weekend, everyone. Welcome to the Eric St. Show podcast. Patreon bonus. Patreon bonus. So I heard from guy at RV store with regards to the RV and the unbelievable amount of problems. I saw my neighbor. He goes, "Hey, you taking the RV out?" I go, "There's a couple things, couple little bugs needed to be worked out." I didn't want to get into a big, long, drawn-out conversation with him about it. "A couple of bugs need to get worked out with the RV." So I heard from guy at RV place yesterday. He was like, "Okay, we took care of this. We're fixing this. We're fixing that. I just want to give you an update. We're still not done with it." Okay, I don't even need the damn thing for a couple of weeks anyway, so no big deal. But the toilet, remember I told you that the toilet, hello there, Ben. My buddy Ben is enjoying the show. His father, the right-hand man of Coleman Lutz. Close friend Matt is here. I'll see Ben Saturday at the races, Ben. It's going to be awesome. All right. In addition, I heard from the guy, and he's like, "Look, EZ, we repaired the toilet because you'd flush, and every time you go number two, it would cause a catastrophic clog." And he says to me, "Yes, there was a problem, the way it was plumbed. And there was some type of odd setup with how they had done it, which caused like a you know how like when a beaver builds up a dam? That was happening in those pipes, but instead of twigs and sticks, it was shit." Because I said to him, I go, "How about the toilet?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, we fixed the toilet. They got underneath that thing. And I guess it was some poor son of a bitch's job to take that thing apart." And he used the word, "We had to scoop everything out." Scooping. Concerning poop. Scoop poop. "Hey, what'd you do at work today?" "I scooped poop." "Oh, dear God." He goes, "You got to put a lot of water in it." No, I go, "Dude, trust me. I know how to operate one of those damn things. Yes, you're right." So I guess it's taken care of. We shall see. I just had, remember I was telling you about my new sponsor, Kuiper Tree Service. I just had those boys out here, and we went up to that hornet's nest that I found, which was the size of a small soccer ball. You may have seen it on Facebook. I sprayed it full of spray, and but when they came out, there was still a lot of hornets that were hanging out around the thing. So like, "You got any more spray?" I go, "No." But then I go in, and they didn't know what they were going to do, because the plan is, I went inside and I found two more cans. I go, "Look, let's do it." So we hit the nest with this foam wasp killer. And then they had already backed up the wood chipper thing. And they just cut off the limb. And they ran the limb, which had the nest on it, which was in bad shape because we sprayed it, through the wood chipper. So that's a bad day for those fucking wasps or hornets or whatever the fuck they were. I think they're all the same thing. But, and then they just came and brought down this pile of shit tree that was killing my roof. And now all is good. All is well. That is one of the things that Pooh Bear has been like just killing me about. And now there's a new thing that she's already moved on to a new thing. And for some reason, she's decided that in the bathroom, one of the bathrooms here. By the way, Maureen says, I think I saw Jet's dad in your video. His name is Keenan Burgundy shirt and beard. Yeah, I talked to Keenan. I'm going to have to bring that up. I think they're gone now. Thank you for that, Maureen. That's really sweet. I seriously want to talk to him about that. Anyway, where was I? Oh, I got distracted. What the fuck was I talking about? Oh, Pooh Bear's like, look, Mimi's coming over this weekend. I want this taken care of. So in the bathroom, when you turn on the faucet and the shower, she goes, I want that handle replaced and the faucet replaced and the shower head replaced. I go, okay. And she says, so it just came and I told Jimmy to do it. Our good pal, Jimmy, he's going to do it. And I'm like, well, let me try. Let me just try to do it. And she goes, okay. She really wants this done. So I've never done this before in my life. But I'm always willing to try. And there's step-by-step instructions. The first thing it said to do is shut off all the water in the house. The first thing I thought was, fuck that. I'm not doing that. But then I went, do it. You're going to fuck something up. Just do what it tells you to do. It's all you got to do. Do what it tells you to do. Shut off the water. Bob writes, I forget. Did you ever finish the basement project? Well, it's done. We just don't go down there at all. And there's no furniture down there. The floor is done. It's painted. We could be down there, but I'm telling you, I don't even need that space. If it were me, I'd be living in a house that's like 300 square feet. I use this room, my bedroom, one bathroom, and the kitchen. That's it. So, I'll be working on that bathroom project, and it needs to be done by this weekend. Because Mimi's coming over. And Pooh Bear already said she wants it done because Mimi's coming over. So I gotta... It's like, all right, I will. Relax. I'm gonna try. I know some of you may be pushed to your limit with Trump, Biden's assassination attempt and election stuff. But I am fascinated with what's happening right now. I'm so interested in this. Another Democrat. This is a big one. His name is Adam Schiff. He is in Congress. And he's running for a Senate seat right now in California. So his goal is to no longer be a congressman and be a senator from California. He's taking on former big leaguer Steve Garvey in that Senate race. Some of you may remember Steve Garvey. Well, Schiff is obviously a Democrat, and he is the latest that is saying, enough. Step down, old man. He wrote in a statement to the LA Times. He said he has serious concerns about Biden's ability to defeat Trump. Exactly. And this stubborn old man is not going to give up. There is only one singular goal, defeating Donald Trump, he said. The stakes are just too high. Meanwhile, in a poll of Americans, a number of Democrats were polled. Nearly two-thirds of American Democrats want Biden to withdraw. So just average Joes were polled. The new survey by the AP, NORC, Center for Public Affairs Research, conducted as Biden works to salvage his candidacy 2 weeks after his debate flop. You can't even call that a debate flop. It's more like a diagnosis. That's what that was. That was a diagnosis of a dire mental health decline. That was the type of performance where they should have stopped it and just taken him right to the hospital. That was the equivalent of when they like stop a boxing match when one guy's beating the shit out of the other one too much. So embarrassing. Only 3 in 10 Democrats are either extremely or very confident that he has the mental capability to serve effectively. Holy shit. As we speak, Harris is in Kalamazoo. This is stupid. At the Republican National Convention, in a show of solidarity, people are putting pieces of paper on their ear to make themselves look like they've got an ear bandage like Trump. Look at these assholes. How stupid is this? Why don't you just say, yeah, I'm glad the president's okay. How dumb is this? I better be careful. If I say anything sideways, people fucking freak out. There's a couple more things I want to get to that are just downright scary. J.D. Vance, the vice presidential nominee, or running mate. I didn't know this, but his wife is Indian, like country of India, Indian. And they have a son that they actually named Vivek. This is some alt-right Trump supporter who has a show. I don't know what the show is. Thank you to Corey for sending this along. Makes up for his stupid fucking issues on his voice-to-text thing on the chat. Some Republicans, like this scumbag, this is what I mean when I say that the people who support Trump scare me more than Trump. Okay? The people who support Trump hate me or concern me more than actually Trump does. This guy says all this shit and he's serious as a heart attack.
J.D. Vance also has a non-white wife, an Indian wife, and a kid named Vivek. All his kids have Indian names. So it's like, what exactly are we getting here? And that's not a dig at him just because I'm a racist or something. But it's like, who is this guy really? Do we really expect that the guy who has an Indian wife and named their kid Vivek is going to support white identity? Like, there's a white genocide going on in the world. White people are being systematically replaced in America and Europe through immigration and to a much lesser extent due to intermarrying. This guy has a non-white wife and a kid named Vivek. This guy is going to be a defender of white identity? I don't think so. This guy's going to defend American identity? If he does, it's going to be no better than any of these other civic nationalists like Vivek Ramaswamy. How else could you countenance American identity if you have a mixed up family like that?
Dude. I don't even know where to begin. With moments like that, well, with a straight face, somebody can say something so in such a sinister way. God damn. Isn't that awful? That actually makes me disgusted when I hear shit like that. Also sent to me from Corey, who Kenny writes, it cracks me up that this is something that you got from Corey, and he doesn't have any way of knowing that I've talked about it because he's not on Patreon. I don't know who this person is, but she's a supporter of Trump. I don't even know if this is a parody. Maybe I won't even go into that. Who knows? But anyway, maybe that whole thing was a gag. Maybe I'm being led down the road of something silly. This isn't silly. Well, no, it is silly, but it's not. It's unintentionally silly. At the RNC, showing up, it's what's the guy's name? Rudy Giuliani. Some folks are saying that he was shit-faced here. You be the judge. Here he is. Okay, he wipes out. Oh, everybody's taking pictures of him. Jesus Christ. God damn, that's awful. I think he just tripped. I don't think he was drunk. Because if you notice, there's like a seam in the carpet. Right there. I'm pretty sure it tripped him. You know how it is when you get old. Fuck, I do that. Jeremy is here. He writes, "Easy, I just mailed you a story about a Sikh woman leading a prayer at the RNC. Republicans are giving her shit for it." What the fuck? Okay, I'll get to that. I'll probably have that for tomorrow or maybe tonight with Ben. We live in a strange world right now. Really a strange world. All right. Before we continue, I've been meaning to get to this. This is video of the guy who tried to kill Trump. Video is surfacing of him when he's kind of being a goofball in school. This is the guy.
6'4". I go to Stanford University. I have a 10-inch penis. And 6'4".
Okay. He introduces himself as being 6'4" and having a 10-inch penis.
6'4". I go to Stanford University. I have a 10-inch penis. And
does this look like the face, and does it sound like a guy who can easily penetrate the defenses of the Secret Service with no problem whatsoever and get off 5 rounds at a presidential candidate and former president? That's what's going on. There's a story that the Homeland Security has now launched an inquiry into that debacle. Someone is going to lose their job. This guy here in a video, unrelated to anything we've talked about so far, is getting into a fight in the bar with himself. He walked up to a mirror and thought he was fighting someone. This guy's so drunk.
He's fighting the
mirror. Wow. I like how the guys are at the bar paying attention to him and trying not to make it obvious that they're having a great time at this fucking moron's expense. The one guy's dying. Holy shit. Oh my God, that is, that's special. Kenny says concerning guy who nearly killed the president, I love that he's talking about penis and you find a way to use the word penetrate. Not intentional, but I guess that did happen. What can I say? All right. Before we go a second further, we have to get into detail of the latest teacher having sex with kids. This chick in New Jersey is accused of having sex with a kid multiple times earlier this year, including in his car. Now, the way it's charged, it's called sexual assault. I wish they would change the name of just to from sexually assaulting a kid to just having sex with a minor. Because I'm guessing that the kid who was having sex with her did not feel like he was being assaulted. Typically, an assault is like a negative thing, right? Like if my wife came over here and gave me an HJ, that is not an assault. Especially when you take a look at this chick. That's her. The interesting thing about this is, and by the way, I'm sure people that have watched this show know that the hotter you are, the less offensive of a crime this is. In this photograph we see of her, the school teacher, it's obvious there's been a mistake. Someone has made a mistake. She needs to be set free. No problem. However, when you scroll down, this woman, Julie Rizzitello, which sounds very Jersey. Hey, yo, Mrs. Rizzitello. Yeah, I was wondering if maybe you could meet me out in the hallway so I could stick my finger in you. Hey, yo, Mrs. Rizzitello. I was wondering if maybe you could polish my knob after school. Mrs. Rizzitello here looks fantastic, but look at this. Look at that face. Something's going on there. Something happened to her. She's 36 years old, and I need to get a close-up of that face. That's, oh, my God, that's hideous. Okay, that's guilty. She's not guilty in this image. Innocent. But here, something's wrong. What is wrong with her face? That is shocking to me. They had sex plenty of times. She taught ninth grade, and she's out at the school anymore. She's not there anymore, but I'm wondering if she's in jail right now. Today is her detention hearing. I'm curious as to how that's going to go. There was another teacher that also got... Oh, is that the same teacher? I don't... No, yeah, this is all the same chick. Yeah, I'm thrown for a loop by that face. Kenny says, am I missing something? She looks fine to me. Wait a second here. This is the first picture. Okay, let's focus on this one here. Okay, we all agree that she's cute as hell there. But in this picture... Are you telling me that that looks okay? Look at how wide that mouth is. Way too much gum. These giant creases here. And these crazy eyes. And look at her nose. It's bigger than mine. She's a face changer, I'm telling you. She had to have gotten some work done or something like that at some point in time. Yeah, she's completely different face. That's called a face changer, Kenny. You probably don't see it because you, it, well, never mind. I'm not going to say it. You probably throw yourself on the ground and get pissed off. Bob says that the second pick, that's all Jersey. Kenny says, I see no issue here. Yeah, your standards are way low. That's the problem. Jeremy says, what do you think her punishment should be? I don't know, maybe no video games for a whole weekend or something. And then he adds, ones of people will get my reference. I don't get it. Nick says, if you can drive a car, you should be able to drive a teacher. Should there be like a double standard? Like the only way you can sexually assault a dude is if you're ugly and the person is like 11 or under. Kenny suggests I'm just being unnecessarily mean. No, I'm blown away by the differences in her face. That's the problem. Cute in the first picture, not so much in the second one. All right, that's the phenomena of the latest edition of teachers sleeping with their kids. I wanted to unpack this story that I stumbled upon on the website of one of my favorite radio stations in Detroit, WCSX. They detailed a story of Led Zeppelin guitar player, legend, Jimmy Page, who lives somewhere in England, and his neighbor, UK pop star Robbie Williams. I've heard of that person, but I don't know what the fuck he sings. They're next door neighbors. Now, Jimmy Page, since the early 1970s, he purchased and moved into an ancient Victorian home, looks like a castle. It was built in 1781 by architect William Brudges, who was one of the top Victorian architects of his time. So this is an old, old building. There it is. That's Jimmy Page's house. You see to the next door to it, it looks like some type of construction. That's because Williams has been doing all sorts of renovations to his residence. So he's bringing in like heavy equipment and backhoes and shit like that. Well, Page was like, look, man, all this heavy equipment and work you're doing is, I have a very sensitive home and I can't have, he's afraid that like he'll cause some type of damage to it by all of the heavy work being done. And his claim was that, and because he has a lot of priceless artwork in his home, that he's afraid that if so the house goes, so the artwork goes. Robbie Williams said, fuck you. I'm digging a new basement with an indoor pool. Go fuck yourself. And Jimmy Page filed some type of restraining order or got an injunction. And the judges agreed with Page. And they said to Robbie Williams, you are not allowed to use any heavy equipment. You can, however, still dig the pool and the new basement, but you can only use a shovel. Hand tools. That's all you can use. Jimmy Page has made saving this home to be a living. He says even the tiniest of vibrations could ruin his own grade one listed building and its fragile ancient paintings and frescoes. He won the battle about the basement. But this goes all the way back almost 10 years. Robbie Williams submitted renovation plans and Jimmy Page objected. Williams submitted plans for a shed on stilts to be built in his garden. Williams accused Page of sitting in his car for hours outside his house. In a radio interview, Robbie Williams said he's recording the workmen to see if they're making too much noise. The builders came in and he was asleep in his garden waiting. It's like a mental illness. How is it that a guy who at one point was part of the loudest band in history is worried about too much noise. In 2019, Robbie Williams appeared to apologize to Page, and there were rumors that he even wrote Jimmy a letter. Now the latest is Williams submitted plans to build a 20-foot wall across the back of his property. Page says no. My God. I can't believe that Jimmy Page has lived in the same place since 1972. I mean, that's actually kind of cool. He's in an old castle. It's no doubt haunted. Bob writes, do explosives count? It's not heavy machinery. Bob talking about the previous story with a chick with the wide face that I was dogging her. Kenny says I'm being unnecessarily mean. Bob says I see no issue with her looks, but I can guarantee you her voice is a boner killer. That brings me to this. The latest weird sound from our pal Kelly Cheese. Thank you to Jeremy for submitting this.
Good morning.
This is taken from a game that they played. Thank you to Jeremy for sending it along. It'll serve as a preview for tonight's Who Are These Free Beers.
Good morning, I'm Kelly. I got a question, and it's more of a test for everybody to try here today.
Okay.
Have you ever tried to let all of your air out and then scream? Have you seen these videos?
Well, I've seen the videos. No. I haven't tried it yet.
Okay. It's impossible, right?
Well, it's not.
It's impossible.
That it's, well, I don't know. For some people, it might not be. It's just the noise that you make.
Okay.
Okay. Try it, Steve.
So just.
Okay. This is going to result, I guarantee you, in uproarious laughter. So blow out all your. Ah! Scream. Okay. I did it.
All your air out. Yep. And then try to scream.
So it sounds like a death rattle.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's all that's left.
Oh. Does anyone else feel like you have to take a big breath in?
Yeah.
You don't have to, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to make sure there's oxygen in your blood before you get rid of everything else.
Yourself.
Oh, yeah,
so
you made
sickly.
A really disgusting noise.
I'm sorry I put you through that. Thank you to Jeremy. Matt says some real dynamic content there. Jeremy says I hated that segment so much. And then adds, I immediately pulled into a truck stop to clip this. My God, you are committed, my friend. That's why I love you. Kenny says, when you run out of things to talk about, you do that. I think that's how they started their show the other day, because I was getting clips for Who Are These Free Beers. I think that's how the show started. My God. All right, it's going to be a great episode. I can't wait. I haven't yet pulled my clips, but I know what I'm parking on. The free beer and the supposed story of how he posted Kelly Cheese's thirst trap. We have to get into that and a number of other things, I'm sure, as well. You have been a great audience. Thank you so much. And I will talk to you this evening. Till then, take care and bye-bye. Patreon bonus podcast, your old pal EZ, fresh as a daisy. Oh my God, the naps lately, it's the deepest sleep. I had a dream that my oldest brother Michael took up a job feeding chickens, and it paid him $2,000 a week. I'm like, my God, what do you do? He goes, no, no, it's a big farm. What the fuck is going on? This is my beloved brother who, his wife just passed not long ago. Talked about that. But that is weird. It's some of the weirdest dreams ever. Also, during the big nap, a verdict came in on that trial. Do you remember the lady who was, I think she was like a rabbi in a synagogue or something like that in Detroit? And she was like slaughtered. And everybody thought that the guy who stabbed multiple times, the guy who did it was like some anti-Semitic crazy kook. Well, I haven't really been following that story. But I knew that he was representing himself. And we all know that that never works out. Well, he fucking did it. He was acquitted. He said all along that he stumbled upon the body outside of the synagogue. And he touched her, but he didn't do anything. He didn't like, oh, well, he was like, are you okay? You know, one of those deals. And it worked. So I'm kind of just absorbing the details of this at the same time as you. Jury today acquitted a man of first degree premeditated murder in the killing of a Detroit synagogue leader. It also says that they haven't yet decided on another charge, a separate murder charge, which could set up a possible retrial. Jury deliberated for 5 days. This is one of those innocent till proven guilty. That's why you always say innocent till proven guilty. Ah, fuck that shit. Hold on a second. I got to see if this holds a sniff test here. Passes a sniff test, I should say. God damn it. Michael Jackson Bolanos is his name. Was accused of fatally stabbing Samantha Wool at her home last October. He testified in his own defense. I take it back. He did not represent himself. He was a witness, insisting that he had no role, but acknowledged that he did touch the body when he discovered it outdoors in the middle of the night. Wool's death immediately raised speculation about whether it was some type of anti-Semitic retaliation amid the Israel-Hamas war. Police ended up finding no connection. Nobody talked about that. They didn't say, oh, by the way, we're just speculating. And then they didn't like take it back. They just left it out there. He was acquitted of first degree murder, but convicted of lying to police. The jury couldn't reach a unanimous verdict on a felony murder, which under Michigan law is murder committed during another crime and home invasion. The mixed results means he could face another trial. The defense said it's a partial victory, but not the victory I was anticipating. Well, it's a pretty good victory. I don't understand how they found him innocent. I would love to hear what the jury thought. The trial centered mostly on circumstantial evidence. Police said Jackson Bolanos' jacket had spots of Wool's blood. While there is video of him walking in the area, there's no evidence of him being inside her home. He told the jury that he was in the neighborhood looking for unlocked cars. He said absolutely not when his attorney asked if he broke into Wool's townhouse and stabbed her. So thief, yes. Murderer, no, I guess. The jury bought it. During his closing argument, Brown noted that Wool was attacked around the head and neck, calling it a crime of passion, probably by someone familiar to her. That's the defense attorney, this Brown fella. This case involves the wrong person who just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and should probably add, and is a fucking thief. Investigators first arrested a former boyfriend who made a hysterical call to 911 and told authorities that he believed he might have killed Wool, but couldn't remember it. Wait a minute. Let me back up here. Investigators first arrested a former boyfriend who made a hysterical call to 911 and said he believed he might have killed Wool. I can't be sure. Well, I might have murdered my ex-girlfriend. He blamed an adverse reaction to medicine for those claims. He was not charged. How? So you got the guy saying, oh, I might have killed her. I don't know. I'm just hysterical. And is connected to her ex-boyfriend. No, let's pin it on random guy who's probably black. I don't know. I'm just assuming. Maybe not. Who's walking down the street? Wool was president of the Isaac Agree Downtown Synagogue. That's the lady, and also active in Democratic politics. How the hell was the boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, not arrested there? Amanda breaking the bad news that Bob Newhart died. I knew that, but I opted not to mention it because I was like, eh, I don't. I'm not really sure I even want to. I mean, who the. Only the old people know who Bob Newhart is, right? I guess that, I mean, that's not a reason to not mention. I don't know why I wasn't even thinking about mentioning it. Jeremy says, wait, so why did the thief get charged? That article was really lacking, and I don't, it didn't say, it did not say. And I haven't been following that goddamn story. I just found it interesting that he was acquitted. Amanda says Newhart was in the Big Bang Theory. Dude was funny back in the day. I remember him on, it was Newhart, the show Newhart. Funny dude, really funny dude. 90, he lived a long life, though. That's a great life. You know, hopefully it wasn't one where he was like suffering for a long, long time. He just died of old age, probably. I want to get into Donald Trump sneakers. Here's the latest. We had the gold ones. Now the gold ones, it's the same shoe. It's just not gold. It's white with the flag thing at the top. If you take a look at this, and with him after the guy shot him, we all knew that this was going to happen. A limited number of Trump sneakers. That's the image after he got shot when he's got his fist up and he's motherfucking the bad guy who shot him. And it says the quote, fight, fight, fight. Only 5,000 sneakers available, each pair numbered. You know, I don't collect anything, but this is in the gold ones were $3.99. I'm not sure how much. Okay, these ones are just $2.99. Not the best looking shoe. I think it's actually worth it to spend the money and get the pair and then never touch them. Hopefully they come in like a sealed package or something like that. Probably don't though. And because I think that in like 50, 100 years or whatever, that's a collectible item. Don't you dare wear them. Trump MAGA supporters are so stupid. They probably will. Like the dumb shit who's going to buy this shoe is going to put that on and like go mow the lawn or go beat up a black guy or something like that. Jeremy says, I'm as anti-Trump as the next guy, but his merchandising and marketing team is incredible. This is a great idea. And so you get that money. Let's do some easy math here. I think he should make more if he can. Maybe he can't. $2.99 times 5,000. Well, that's $1.5 million. That's pretty damn good. I think it would be worth it just to buy them and hang on to them. I think it's a great idea. You could have, he could do anything really. You could put him like this image right here is iconic. Of him with the blood on his face. He was just shot and he's on a goddamn shoe. I want to see somebody in downtown Grand Rapids wearing the Trump shoe because Trump will be here Saturday with Vance. It's going to be incredible. I don't want to be anywhere near downtown because of the amount of people that will be there. But holy shit, Show your support and patriotic pride with these exclusive sneakers capturing a defining moment in history, the website reads. Here's Trump in February with the gold ones. He loves the gold. It's the same shoe, basically. My God. Yeah, you're right about that. The guy, he is, he's doing the right things for marketing. But I wonder if, like, you know how some of these old school baseball cards that there's very few in existence. I forget the one that we often see sold every few years to some collector. And it's the same, like, five cards being passed around, going up in so much value. Like, if we were to fast forward 100 years, are we looking at something that's worth a ton of money? With only 5,000 in existence, you think in 3 months, 98% of those shoes will be destroyed because they're probably piece of shit shoes. But it would be a good idea to keep them pristine and not wear them. I think that's a sound investment. I don't collect anything, but I think that if somebody did do that, I think that might be a good thing. The guy who founded Fandango has jumped from a hotel. J. Michael Klein. I don't even know if that's a thing anymore, Fandango. Wasn't that where you would go buy your movie tickets or some shit? I vaguely remember Fandango. Hey, did you get the tickets yet? Yeah, man. I went to Fandango. What? Yeah, so the guy who came up with Fandango said, fuck you, world, I'm leaving. J. Michael Klein. He jumped from a very tall building in New York City. Again, it always really angers me what the desperate souls do when they want to take their own life. Why can't you at least have the wherewithal, if you're in the hotel room, to do it in a way that couldn't possibly, that, you know, you're not going to hurt anyone else? Why does it have to be so public like that? The fact that there's like kids walking down the street and this fucking dick throws himself out and probably just comes careening down. He could have very well have landed on somebody. You fucking asshole. I think that it's not really polite to say something negative about anyone who takes their own life, but their depression really makes them in their suicide to be a fucking idiot. It's an extremely selfish thing to do. Hello, friends. Your old pal Eric Zane with a word about ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from my friends over at Secret Nature. This is like the best thing that's happened to me in a long time. I partnered with them. You can learn more at secretnature.com/Zane, and you'll also get a special deal there. But my gosh, during the daytime, I've got a daytime gummy that helps me stay focused, gives me steady lift. It's a fantastic, clean vibe within my system. Prior to Secret Nature, I found during the day that I was up and down, and I was like, what is happening to me? But ever since I started using the ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from Secret Nature, those problems are in the past. And people say to me, EZ, when you're talking about this, what do you mean by a clean feeling? I'd say steady, balanced, not overpowering. I just get more done and feel better throughout the day. Probably because Secret Nature is organic, farm-grown, never lab-made. Ultra-premium CBD gummies with real botanicals. Nothing extra. The best in the business. Bliss is what I use during the day for clear focus and productive flow. I want to wind down? Snoozers. Unwind and rest at the end of the day. Consistent, measured CBD per gummy, so there's no guessing. Intentional formulations that feel clean and slot naturally into your routine. Now, this is where you try it. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. That's secretnature.com, code Zane. Try Bliss during the day, snoozers in the evening, and let me know how it goes. Again, 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. Secretnature.com, code Zane. Secret Nature. Hey, folks, it's EZ for my friends at Uncommon Goods. The holiday season is here, so start your shopping here. Go to uncommongoods.com. Click where it says Christmas shopping. You've got gifts for her, for him, for the grandparents, for the kids, for the teens, for your friends. Oh, my gosh. Artisan, handcrafted, amazing gifts for you and yours. Truly, everything that is cool is found at Uncommon Goods. You can get lost on the website with the amount of products that are there. Uncommon Goods partners with some of the most creative people on the planet and puts all of their offerings on one spot for you to shop in the convenience of your home. I love Uncommon Goods, and you will too. And don't forget that when you shop at uncommongoods.com, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses, and many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches. So shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase that you make at Uncommon Goods, they give a buck back to a nonprofit partner of your choice. Wow, they've donated more than $3.1 million to date. Don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zane. That's uncommongoods.com/Zane for 15% off. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Not so much to yourself, but just the people that love you. And the innocent people that that love you and then might be walking down the street and see you splatter on the sidewalk after you fall 50 stories. The guy jumped from the 20th floor of the Kimberly Hotel in Manhattan, landing in a third floor courtyard. God damn. Imagine some guy's there in the courtyard. He's eating his fucking morning salad. Maybe a cup of coffee. Maybe smoking a Camel. His kids are just hanging out, doing whatever the hell. And then this guy comes crashing down into there. What a dick. Suicide note read, so sorry, I can't explain the pain of fucking up this much. I love you all. J. Michael Klein started up Fandango way back in 2000 and also held roles with startup funding firms that we don't care about, tech companies. Married his wife Pamela back in 95. They share six kids together. They bought their Palm Beach home in late 2020 for just north of $20 million. Oh, to have so many problems. I'm always curious as to why. What's the reasoning? For the love of God. TMZ has learned that NFL legend Lawrence Taylor, who has been, arguably one of the greatest football players to ever play, but throughout his career and his civilian life, he's been a total fuck up. He's been arrested again. It's been a while since we've had a Lawrence Taylor arrest story, but here he is. Looks good, by the way. That is kind of like a chiseled face. Arrested again in Florida. He was accused yet again of failing to follow conditions imposed on him as a registered sex offender. All right. Raise your hand if you had forgotten that he was busted. That makes him, in a way, that makes him a registered sex offender. That was me. That just goes to show you, in the way stories percolate and then people forget shit, I couldn't have told you that. To me, I talk about it, and then it's gone. He turned him in on an outstanding felony warrant on Wednesday. Yesterday at 5 p.m., was thrown behind bars on one charge of failure to report or residence change. It was released this morning at 3 a.m. It's the second time in the last few years that this has happened. Hang on, this AC is a little loud. December 21, he was locked up for a similar offense. The attorney says, it's all a big misunderstanding. All a big misunderstanding. Yeah, okay, great. Why are you a registered sex offender? He was declared a sex offender in 2011 following accusations he had been intimate with a 16-year-old girl. His status requires him to follow several conditions, including letting law enforcement know of residence or name changes. In 2021, Taylor ultimately cut a deal with prosecutors to close the entire book on this, pleading no contest to a lesser charge of residency restriction for persons convicted of certain sex offenses. It's not clear when Taylor will appeal in court for the most recent case, so God knows what's going on there. At the end of the day, though, a grown-ass man put his ding-dong in a child at some point in time. That pretty much makes you scum of the earth, right? I got this one. The viral United States Secret Service sniper team is not the pair that took out Thomas Matthew Crooks at the rally. Remember these guys? This image of them?
And you know, that's
they
a little bit
fire.
Old. That chart's a couple of months old. And if you want to really see
the rally,
said, take a look at what happened.
There you go. There they are shooting right there. These guys were not the ones that shot the bad guy. Secret Service is on the hot seat right now, and according to the spokesman for the Secret Service, Anthony Guglielmini, there were four total counter-sniper teams watching over the event. According to Colin Rugg, the development is odd because it suggests that multiple teams appeared to be looking at or towards Crooks, who somehow managed to get off a clear shot on Trump. So four teams were looking at him. Maybe there's something to Amanda's. They had to wait for him to shoot. I told you, fuckface, fucking asshole. Out of the four counter-sniper teams, two were Secret Service, two were local teams. A local marksman also engaged, but there was not, but was not the one to fire the fatal shot. Colin Rugg asks, I'm just wondering how there seemed to be multiple sniper teams looking at Crooks, yet he was able to get a perfect shot on Trump. That's the $5,000 question. I really want to know what's going on there. I think we need answers. Amanda says vindication. No, no. I said you may. It's possible. We don't know. I'm not going to base it on just something in my brain. I'm not a moron like you. Come on now. So, a guy in Caledonia, right near us here in West Michigan, is kind of a menace to children, luring teenagers into having sex with him. Teenage girls, this is kind of like Lawrence Taylor. Cops say he would convince young teenage girls to have sex with him, and he would give them booze and vape cartridges. So basically it's like, hey, if you have sex with me, I'll buy you a 40 and some vapes. And they agreed to it. This is what police say. Apparently, he would promise vapes and booze to lure young chicks into sending illicit images and then having sex with them. I just want to ask this question. How dumb of a human being do you have to be when you somehow are being reached out to by an old man? Why do you do that? Why do you agree to something like that? That's what I want to know. I mean, I don't want to victim blame, but I kind of am. I mean, this guy's a goddamn monster. But at the same time, what type of kids are we raising these days that are that goddamn dumb? Let me think this over. Some old man I don't know wants me to send a beaver shot and then have sex with me, but I get a 40 of Mickey's and a couple vapes. All right, I'm down. In June, detectives with Kent County Sheriff's, you know what would reduce human trafficking a lot? If some of these victims weren't so fucking dumb. That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. How could this possibly be? If you're a dad and your kid has this happen, you're like, oh, God damn it. I want to pick the brain of my kids and say, so I want you to go back to when you're 17. Madison's the one closest in age. She'll be 22 in August. Let's say some guy approaches you and says, I'll give you some booze and some vapes if you send me a shaved beaver and have sex with me. Does that sound like a good deal? Would you agree to that? Yes or no? I mean, I'm all about, you know, busting all these creeps with the with trafficking children. But goddamn, work with me here, people. According to the Crimes Task Force, it is believed the suspect has communicated with several teenage girls from surrounding areas such as Forest Hills, Lowell, Caledonia, and Byron Center. They found information saying the man had been communicating with a number of teens, offering them vape pens and booze in exchange for beaver shots or having sex with them. The man's name will be released today. He was taken into custody yesterday. Detectives were at his home in Caledonia to execute the search warrant. Some of the sexual assaults he's accused of committing were allegedly video recorded inside his home. He's in Kent County Jail facing five felonies: aggravated child sex abuse, aggravated distributing child sexually abusive material. List goes on and on. The usual: using a computer to commit a crime. They're still looking at the possibility that there are more victims yet to be identified. The sheriff's office is working the case alongside an in-house advocate team and Crisis Aid International child anti-exploitation programs. How does this fucking happen? I wouldn't be surprised. Well, I mean, I just would like to find out what's going on in the brains of these young people. I mean, help us understand. We, the public. Because when we hear this, we're scratching our heads like, what? How? Maureen checks in and says that her boyfriend, Sheriff Swanson, gets these perverts off the street in Genesee County. Yeah, well, the next time you ask him, or next time you see him, and you're going all goo-goo gaga over him, can you maybe bring this up? Say, so, like in the Grand Rapids case, 42-year-old guy entices 17-year-old girls with vape pens and booze, and then they agree to send beaver shots and have sex with him. That doesn't really connect. That's not an equitable trade. That would be like if I said to my neighbor, Brian, hey, can I bum that your pair of vice grips? I can't find mine. And he said, yeah, sure, but you got to suck my dick. Oh, okay. Yeah, here, whip it out. That's like how equitable that trade is. So I'm really concerned about that. Ladies and gentlemen, your old pal EZ will be at Bosco's Pub this evening making fries. America's highest paid fry cook will be out there. And I can't wait to see you. Till next time, thank you. Buy your Trump sneakers and do not wear them. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Chris is here. You're late, goddammit. Well, enjoy. I will talk to you guys tomorrow for a Friday edition of the Eric Zane Show podcast. Till then, bye-bye. Welcome in to the Patreon bonus podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I'm a little bit out of sorts. Now I'm getting text messages from Pooh Bear. No, period. I am podcasting, my dear. So that's the cue to leave me be. She wants me doing chores this evening. Because I've got some free time. So I'm going to fuck up the bathroom. I talked to you about that on the free podcast. So tonight it'll be destroy the bathroom. That's in the cards. I'm also a little bit out of sorts because I realized that I'm actually living a nightmare right now. There was a scene in the film, This is Spinal Tap. When the guys in the band, you know, you're watching their career spiral downward throughout the film. And then at one point, when they're realizing that, you know, nobody gives a shit, they look up at the marquee at the venue that they're playing, and it says, tonight, puppet show. And then it says, and in really small letters, Spinal Tap. Easy. What is that? I don't get it. What's happening? That's because the radio station that I'm affiliated with, Q100, is promoting my visit. And this is what I'm doing. I have to host the Arts and Crafts show. What the fuck goes on at the Arts and Crafts show? Oh, no. Join Eric Zane from the Insane Asylum Q100 Michigan Mornings live from 3 to 5 p.m. for Crafts show. So a week from today, I will be, I'm a lemonade guy. I want to interview the people that are making the laser cut bookmark, wooden bookmark. I want to interview Dolores, the quilting expert. You know, homemade wreath enthusiast Ronald from Roscommon. Joins us on the show. You know, all that. So I'm kind of warming you up for it now. That's what I'm going to be doing. You never know when something gold may come out of it. So I'm trying to keep my chin up. This is something, though, that if, like, Maureen were there, she'd be like, oh, yeah, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh, my God, you're a superstar. Oh, boy. There are other things going on. I didn't get a chance to participate in those. There's like the Hot Rod Car Show. Look it. Do I get invited to that? No. There's also on, I think, Thursday, there's some, like, marathon battle of the bands going on. As Linda writes, will there be any hoof cleaners at the craft show? I don't know if that would apply. I mean, we're talking crafts. You're talking horses. I mean, chainsaw wood carvings, the works. On Thursday, there is this really, people that jump on stage and play music, local bands. Now, these are super local. There's a reason why they're like way up there. Chris says, arts and crafts show, meet former FBHW host Eric Zane. Oh, God. All right. This, like, concert I have to host starts at 1:30 on Friday. 1:30. And it ends at 10. And guess who has to be there? That sets a record for longest appearance ever. What is that? That's 8 hours and 8.5 hours. 8.5 hours! I don't know how I can make lemonade out of that one. And then I got to be up early Friday. Jeremy writes, whenever I think Eric Zane, I think Northern Michigan Arts and Crafts Show. What the fuck? When in Rome. When in Rome. Linda says, are you doing the radio show too? Oh, yeah, I am. And the thing is, when I do the radio show here, I roll out of bed at 5:40. I let the dogs out. I feed them. I get coffee. I sit down here. It's 5:50. I'm on the air. I can't do that. I got to get up, let the dogs out, get my coffee, drive out of the wilderness to the radio station. Linda says it's a long-ass day. You're damn right it's a long-ass day. But, GD, if you want to be number one in Northern Michigan, that these are the things you have to do. And I shouldn't even say that because they don't – it's such a small area. I mean, the radio station covers a lot of the state. I mean, land. But there's very few people living on the land. It's like we're number one over – number one in state forest campgrounds. They don't even measure ratings up there. Nada. Traverse City is more like New York City to Grayling. Chris says Hilljack Arts and Crafts might be cool. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I should have a better attitude about this. I think that's what I need to do is kind of like change my attitude about it. I do want to show you this. I think you're going to like this because there are a lot of people that are there for this for the canoe race, which is a week and a day away. Now, in this aerial shot you see here, you see the two buildings. We will be in one of those two buildings. I think we'll be on that balcony. This is Grayling. There's see all these people lined up here in the middle of the shot and up and down the street. All the people with canoes are up here for the start of this race. So we're going to actually, this is not a long clip. This is the start of the Assawable Canoe Marathon. They jump in the water right here and then they canoe all the way to the east side of the state. That's like, I don't know how many miles it is, but they canoe all night. It's known as canoeing's greatest race, and it happens right here where these two rivers meet. And you just see the race is only in the Assawable, but we're very close to the Manistee, as I understand it. So this is how this goes. I want you to watch this. Everybody's getting ready. Now watch. You'll see him come running down the street. The race just started. There they are. Look at it. You think I told you? These are all tourists. They come from all over the U.S. for this fucking thing because the purse is pretty big. Okay, now that is pretty cool. I don't know how they figure out who starts first. I just want to see them run with the canoes. They go running in front of that building there. Jump in the water, and away they go. Get in, paddle your dick off. And that's what they'll do for, like, the next three quarters of a day. They finish, like, in the morning. And then after about 3-4 minutes of this, it's over. This guy, he's sucking dick. Okay, now we're getting to the scragglers. Here come the old fucks. You can tell the guys who just are shit. Everybody else is already a mile up the damn fucking river. All right. Chris says, Jesus Christ, it's a Le Mans style start. Let's see. Hill Jack Arts. Okay, I already read that. I guess I didn't read Amanda's joke. It's because I didn't see it. Shut up. Apparently he doesn't like my joke. No, it was a fine joke. I just didn't see it. Now I'm annoyed. Shut up. Is this typical Amanda fucking self-centered dumb shit? I probably didn't like my joke. God, shut up. Be more annoying. All right. I know it's been, what do you call it? Trump and Biden centric this past week. But rightfully so. Chris writes, Amanda pulling a Kenny. Yeah, exactly. Just fucking. I'm not sitting here staring at the chat the whole goddamn time. If I see it, I see it. Awful. I don't know how this happens. But people have noticed that there was a chick behind Trump when he got shot who acted funny. And now they're claiming this, that the chick who was acting funny during the assassination attempt is actually, like, with the FBI? Now, I don't know. Maybe that's true.
This shit, dude. Watch. Watch. She sits down. Yep.
They're claiming that the assistant director of the FBI held up a Trump sign to give the shooter a signal to shoot him.
This shit, dude. Watch. Watch. She sits down. Yep. Watch this. Puts the sign up. Take a look at what happened.
Shots go off.
She's completely normal. And then watch.
And then she's got her.
What the fuck? What the fuck? People are freaking out.
And she's filming.
And she's just like right there.
I don't think that that is that weird. First of all, how do you know that that's Janine Di Giuseppe? She's got sunglasses on and a hat on. How do you know that that's her? Second of all, she wasn't completely normal. She got down on the ground. And then she did what I would have done. Got her fucking phone.
She's not even freaking the fuck out. What the fuck? This shit, dude. Watch.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. And then this one. This one described as, now, you know, like Trump said, grab him by the pee. This one, there was a comment on this clip that said, apparently now when Trump is around, women do this by themselves. What is going on in this clip? For the audio podcast, she's grabbing her you-know-what. Chris seems to think that it's odd that that chick pulled out a phone. I don't know, man. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Mark Zuckerberg has not proclaimed who he's voting for, but this is add another log to the pile for Team Trump. When somebody who a lot of people listen to, very influential, being interviewed, had this to say about the assassination attempt.
You know, I've done some stuff personally in the past. I'm not planning on doing that this time. And that includes, you know, not endorsing either of the candidates. Now, look, I mean, there's obviously a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world. I mean, the historic events over the last, like over the weekend. And I mean, on a personal note, it's, you know, I mean, seeing Donald Trump get up after getting shot in the face.
It wasn't the face. His ear was nicked.
And pump his fist in the air with the American flag is one of the most badass things I've ever seen in my life. But look, I mean, it's
It was iconic. I don't know if I'd say that. I mean, there's a lot of badass things that have happened.
You know, and I think, look, it's, at some level as an American, it's like hard to not get kind of emotional about that spirit and that fight. And I think that that's why a lot of people like the guy.
Oh, yeah. He just said, I'm not going to endorse it. You just endorsed him. You might as well have said, oh, I'm going to vote for him because of this. And you should, too. Quit being a pussy about it. My God. I want to get into this story. The folks at Disney are changing the name of a character. The Country Bear Jamboree attraction. If you've ever seen the Country Bear Jamboree attraction, it's those animatronic robots. They've all got names like, here you go. The Country Bear Jamboree, Musical Jamboree. You got Romeo, McGraw, Trixie, Henry, Wendell, and Teddy Barra, Big Al, Terrence Shaker, and Ernest the Dude, featuring the five bear rugs. But what's missing from this is one of the characters. This guy right here. This is Liver Lips McGraw. And Liver Lips McGraw has been removed. And I don't know what the fuck is going on. What does that even mean? I mean, if someone says you have liver lips, I mean, that's just a funny alliteration, right? Is that an insult? I've never heard of that. What does liver lips mean? Let me see if it matches up with what they say in the story. Liver lips defined. Large, swollen, very dark lips that because of their excessive size and prominence are seen as unattractive. Oh, it does say that it is a derogative stereotype. And then it adds, what does liver lips mean, racist? Okay, this might be it. I just didn't know. And now, you know what? I'm glad I don't know. I'm glad I don't know that that's like a racist thing. Considered a derogatory and offensive racial slur that has been used against African Americans to describe the color or shape of their lips as sickly or unhealthy. Well, I guess you learn something every day. If that's the case, why did they wait so fucking long? Or does no one know that this is an offensive term? All right. The article, I want to make sure that the article matches up with what I just learned on my own. Amanda says, in elementary school, I was called liver lips. Disney's changed a name because it's described as offensive and derogatory. Following a seven-month refurbishment at Disney World, Liver Lips McGraw is not on the docket. However, in a M. Night Shyamalan plot twist, Liver Lips McGraw is not out because it is a racist term. No, not at all. Disney has said they don't want to offend alcoholics. It says liver lips is said to be associated with excessive alcohol consumption leading to liver damage. Well, I didn't see that when I looked it up with you on the show. Here. The phrase is deemed to be insensitive and outdated, prompting Disney's decision to modify the character, they continued. Instead, the bear has been replaced with Romeo McGraw, with no drastic amends to its appearance. Well, I don't know about that. If you're going with liver lips, I mean, this is liver lips here, and this is right down here. This is Romeo McGraw. Romeo looks a lot more sexy than liver. Liver lips looks fucked up. You look as if, you know, at the next AA meeting, all the old timers are sitting around talking about, fighting the good fight one day at a time. Don't live in the past. Live in the present. And, oh no, what about the name Liver Lips McGraw? I'm so offended. Amanda says she was not known as Liver Lips. She is now amending that information and was known as N-word lips. God, I don't, sounds like, yeah, it was a rough school you went to. However, we used to say that shit all the time on the playground when we would play N-word pile and smear the queer. So I guess that stands to reason. And you're not nearly as old as I am, but you're still pretty old. So I guess that works. I guess that makes sense. I don't know if it works. Yeah, this is so strange to me. They went on to suggest that the removal of Liver Lips McGraw is part of a broader trend at Disney parks to rectify outdated or culturally insensitive elements within its attractions. I guess at the end of the day, it doesn't fucking matter because nobody knew who the fuck Liver Lips McGraw was in the first place. But why are they like trumpeting it? That to me is the story within the story. The fact that they come out with a press release that we're being so sensitive because we've gotten rid of Liver Lips McGraw. This environment, this evolution is driven by a desire to create a more inclusive and welcoming environment for all guests. Okay, Disney has undertaken similar initiatives in recent years with notable examples including the reimagining of Splash Mountain and the Jungle Cruise. These attractions underwent significant modifications to remove stereotypical and offensive portrayals of indigenous peoples and animals. Well, I wonder, and that maybe this has already been addressed, but like when you go on the It's a Small World, you know, you see people from all these different parts of the world, and, well, I mean, I think that on that, they have, that's pretty much the focus of the ride. Everybody's fucking doing, dressed differently, looks different. I don't know. I think sometimes they just go a little bit too far. This is an outrageously amazing story. In my old neck of the woods, I used to live in the city of Warren, as you know, in Macomb County. In Oakland County, there is, that's right next door. And these two EMS workers who might, well, they're not EMS workers, they're ambulance drivers, which we all know the ambulance drivers are kind of idiots. The paramedics are the ones that are making all the, they just say to the other ones, hey, drive me to where there's trouble, where the guy got hit by the train. These two EMS workers or EMTs decided they wanted to use the work truck to do something stupid. The work truck being the ambulance. Let's check this out.
Theft case has now turned into a federal offense where two EMS workers are accused of stealing while they were on duty. Now, they're accused of stealing a blue USPS mailbox, just like the one you see right here.
But it's what happened after that that has us all asking why. Let's get out to Will Jones. And, Will, we're talking about some very serious charges here.
Kieran, a demand theft of government property is one of them. Take a look here. The collection box is back in use. The EMS workers told investigators that they thought this box was trash because it's located near a dumpster, which is technically true, but...
Okay, so that's the first stupid thing. We thought it was trash. That's our excuse, because it was near a dumpster.
Usually trash, follow me back over here, is not bolted to the ground with concrete.
That's great.
An EMS rig is designed to transport people, not a United States Postal Service mail collection box. But that is exactly what was captured on video. One of the workers from Star EMS allegedly involved describing it in hindsight as stupid in his interview with postal inspectors, according to the federal criminal complaint filed in the Eastern District of Michigan yesterday. The complaint alleges on April 30th, the Bloomfield Hills postmaster reported the collection box was missing on South Telegraph Road near West Square Lake Road. On May 2nd, a postal technician received a call from an individual later identified as Ryan Ball, asking if he could keep the collection box that he found
next. Okay, so he then called and said, hey, can I have this? He initiated the contact, the guy who stole it.
To a dumpster, saying he wanted to use it for personal decorative purposes. The technician responded no, according to the complaint. Later that day, a Star EMS manager called the postal technician and said that he didn't believe his employees, Ball and Jacob Sandrock, took the collection box, but instead were told by the Postal Inspection Service that they could keep it. Investigators say in an interview with postal inspectors, Ball said he thought he could refurbish it for a drop box for medical records. Star EMS telling me today that the two employees voluntarily separated from the company days after the incident, and they take matters like this seriously.
What a stupid, unnecessary disaster this is.
So, how did they get this mail collection box into the ambulance? Well, according to the complaint, they used a stretcher, and they were planning to dump this mailbox if they got an emergency call. We're live in Bloomfield Hills. Will Jones, Local 4.
Oh, if someone's got any Ring camera footage of that, I want to see that. All right, thank you, Will.
Exactly, and there's a camera right there.
Is there?
And they had a camera in the ambulance that captured this on video. I would love to see that video as well, Karen.
Let us know if you dig it up. We'd love to see it. Thank you.
Oh, how stupid is this? Just going, who doesn't know, first of all, that fucking with a mailbox is a major problem? Everybody knows that. That's like the first thing they teach you. That anything associated with the mail is like a federal offense and you're going to go to prison for a long time. Jesus. That is embarrassingly ridiculous. I hope they go to jail for a long time, those fucking dummies. That's one of the dumber stories we've heard in quite some time. All right, one more for you that I want to get to that I've been sitting on. I just found it out, but it's perfect to talk about here. So some idiot in Utah reached out to a 15-year-old on Snapchat. And that's frightening as hell, by the way, when that happens. That just anybody can reach out. Is that how it works? I don't know. I don't fuck around Snapchat. But the 49-year-old dude somehow got into contact with a 15-year-old kid and said to her, hey, can we have sex? I'll pay you $700. I'll give you $350 now, $350 later. And she agreed to it. And he said, yeah, cool, because I got to go to the mall and I got to buy clothes. I'm sorry. She said she had to go to the mall and buy clothes, so that's why she needed it. So she agreed. She said, all right, let's meet for sex. Now, I don't know if she was being honest or she was setting him up. Because the guy, Bryce Stephen Ray, and I wish there was video of this, Bryce Stephen Ray showed up to the mall in Sandy, Utah, and there was 20 teenagers there to kick his ass. Like, it was a teenage version of To Catch a Predator. And they surrounded him and tried to beat his ass, and then the cops showed up on the scene. They ended up arresting the guy, and there, because they're screaming, pedophile, pedophile, holy shit. And they got the guy arrested. So this is fucking great. I wish I could have seen the video. It just happened on Tuesday of this week. What do you say we blow in a call? Shops at Southtown Mall in Sandy. Let me look it up. Shops at Southtown Mall in Sandy. All right, let's do this. Let's do this. 801. Probably 150 degrees outside there today. I'm sure someone will just pick it right up. Hello.
Thank you for calling the Shops at Southtown. If you know the party you're trying to reach, please press pound and enter the extension. God. To hear the options, listen carefully as the options may have changed. Press 0 for the operator. For security and lost and found, press 1. For local leasing, please press 2.
Security.
Southtown Security.
Hey, how are you? I was just trying to get an update on the guy who almost got beat up by the teenagers.
So I don't have any news that I can give you. Anything that you're going to find out, you're going to find out more on either the news or the internet than I would have.
Okay. Now, did you get eyes on the target?
I'm not going to release that information.
Did any of the teenagers have boners?
Okay, so this conversation has turned inappropriate. I'm going to disconnect the call now. You have a great rest of your day.
What? I don't know if she appreciated that. Well, I saw that post the other day that you guys like it when I do those phone calls, so I figured that would be a decent line of questioning for that. Jeremy says, yeah, dispatch, I know someone's having a heart attack right now. Just give me a few minutes so we can dump this mailbox we just stole. Pertaining to the previous story that we had. All right. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. That's going to do it. That's my time today. As always, I appreciate you guys very much. Wonderful audience. I'll talk to you from up north. Wish me luck. Fingers crossed. Till then, have a good one. see you. Bye-bye.